passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Right in the middle of April, April 15th, if that name rings a bell or means something to you, welcome back. It's been a long weekend, a lot happened, and we are going to get to all the major stories right now as we begin a new week in the second half of the month. And Mark Pope makes believers out of Kentucky. Remember Thursday night, everybody was pulling their hair out, gnashing their teeth. What could be happening? Well, arena filled to the rafters yesterday. He's had nine seasons as a D1 coach. He's led BYU to two NCAA tournament appearances, one and done in both. He was a major contributor on the Kentucky National Championship team in 96 under Rick Pitino, and that could be the main reason why he is the Kentucky head coach today. A new era and an anti-Calipari era has begun. Back to the good old days seemed to be the theme all weekend long. Back to the football field and an overdose of spring football. Georgia defense has its day. Should that surprise anyone? They are the national – well, actually, they're not the national champions, but – seems like they are. They've won two of the last three, and they had a big day Saturday. Lane Kiffin had a lot of fun, caught a lot of flack, but most people seemed to have a good time. Why not? Why shouldn't spring football be enjoyable as opposed to boring? How about DeBoer? Nothing boring about DeBoer on Saturday. Special day, he said. Even Nick Saban showed up. J.D. Pickell joining us from On3. J.D., always great to have you. Let's start with Alabama. There's a lot of spring games to catch up on. You're smarter than we are. What did you learn from all of these? We'll start with Bama.
Yeah, well, first, that's a lot of credit you're giving me, Paul, so I appreciate that. But, no, with Alabama, I mean, how weird was it to see Nick Saban not out there in his salmon suit rolling around yelling at guys? The Kalen DeBoer era off and running, and Jalen Milroe didn't statistically give us a ton to look at just from a box score standpoint, but tell you what, I think with him in this offense, the way they're going to spread teams out and kind of put them on their heels using tempo, I think he's going to thrive. And I understand Jaden Daniels' situation last year, night and day different, right? I mean, second year in the same system, he had two first-round wide receivers running around out there for him. I think Jalen Milroe, if he's able to fit into this offense and be able to still utilize his legs, how I think Kalen DeBoer plans to utilize his legs, I think it's going to be a really, really nice blend, which I wasn't so sure about when we got the news he was coming over from Washington. And you think about Michael Penix Jr. and how different a quarterback he is. So all in all, I thought Jalen Milroe, the flash plays you saw, really got me excited. And then also the running back room. I mean, they are legitimately, I think, three deep at that position with Jam Miller, Justice Haynes, Richard Young. So all in all, it's very early. We're just kind of taking a temperature of things here in spring, but nonetheless, a lot to be excited about in Tuscaloosa.
Let's stay with the good. I won't go down every school because that's a lot. But we talked about Georgia at the beginning. They seem so complete. What do we need to know about Georgia as it turns the corner, trying to get back in the obviously in the playoffs and maybe win a national championship as it had previously done two straight?
I think the scary thing about Georgia this year, maybe as opposed to previous years, is what they have out wide. Like seeing Colby Young, the transfer wide receiver from Miami, he went up and made a catch in that spring game. It was a 50-50 ball in the goal line, you know, brought it down for six. He looks like a transformer. And then Dom Lovett, the transfer from Missouri, gets his second year in the system. And so I think all these pieces they have pushing the ball deep is going to make teams have to play them a little bit more honest. And when you play Georgia honest in the box, physically, they're going to make you say, uncle, running the football. We already know what that defense is, or it feels like we do with Mykel Williams and all the young players they have over there that are going to be able to contribute for them this year. So, like you said, Georgia extremely complete, and it feels like they add like even another gear to what they can do offensively and some more toys for Carson Beck to throw the football to.
LSU and Tennessee are also expected to be contenders. You know, both lost quarterbacks, but both feel pretty comfortable where they are. What stood out over the weekend, and what are you looking forward to seeing from both of them?
Yeah, if you're an LSU fan, you probably don't know how to feel the day after the spring game, because on one hand, you're like, Garrett Nussmeier was perfect on the day. He's launching deep touchdown passes. He's got duck, duck, goose touchdown celebrations going on with his guys in the end zone. Like, he looked flawless. So you feel great about that. But then you look at the defense, you say, well, that was the same unit that gave up 30 points a game last year. That's the reason why we have a brand new defensive staff. Like, you know, it was when one side does well during spring practice, the other side probably had to do not as well. So I think the defense is still very much so in transition mode. I'd be a lot more worried about that spring practice or spring game performance, rather, if it wasn't a new staff, we were going into year three of the same system or something like that. So all in all, if Garrett Nussmeier makes the right decisions, I think LSU can have a chance to be in the same ballpark as potent as they were a season ago, but good to see him make good decisions in that spring game. And then for Tennessee, the thing that is going to get all the headlines is Nico Iamaleava, which is a last name that I think we all need to start practicing a lot more before we get into the fall, because we're going to say it a lot. He's going to get all the headlines, and he should. He's extremely talented, but the depth they have at wide receiver, Paul, I think is a game changer. It's something they didn't have last season. You had Squirrel White with close to 70 catches for Tennessee a season ago. Next closest was 35. So now you have Dante Thornton getting his second year in the system, transfer from Oregon. Chris Brazel, a guy they're really excited about. He's all 6'5", big target for them on the perimeter. Brew McCoy gets back healthy. And so the reason I mention all these names is when teams play Tennessee and Nico breaks contain and he's doing the broken play thing, he's ad-libbing, you went from having to cover one guy for right around 3 seconds to now having to cover 3 to 4 guys for an extended period of 4 to 5 seconds. And so you give someone that much time, they're going to get open. Nico's going to give them a good ball. So I think it'll be a lot more similar to that 2022 season we saw out there in Knoxville when Hendon Hooker was running the show.
JD, a couple more. Ole Miss, so much is expected. I mean, this could be the best Ole Miss team in several generations. What stands out from spring, and what are you looking forward to as we head toward fall?
I mean, the first things first, we got to get Joey Chestnut on staff if we're Lane Kiffin. I don't know what the NIL package is for him. Find a way to meet it, get him on staff. That was electric in every sense of the word when it comes to the social media side of things. What stands out to me is I think they're now meeting the price of admission to play big boy football in the SEC. And they've always been potent offensively. With Jackson Dart coming back, that's exciting. You get even richer with Juice Wells adding in with Trey Harris on that side of the ball. But the fact they went out and got not just big defensive linemen, but proven commodities on Princely Umanmielen from Florida, Walter Nolan from Texas A&M, both having played meaningful snaps in the SEC. Ole Miss gave up 4 yards of carry last year. If they can cut that down into the 3 yards of carry or less, they're going to be in the college football playoff, and they probably have a really good chance at making that trip to Atlanta as well. So I think what they have in terms of the USDA-approved sirloin, Paul, on the defensive line, I think that's a big difference.
And finally, Arkansas and Florida. I realize we've covered a lot of ground, but you're more qualified than anyone I know to deal with such a smorgasbord. Arkansas and Florida, what about the Razorbacks?
I'm excited about Taylen Green, the transfer from Boise State. I mean, he's kind of a KJ Jefferson-esque kind of player. He's really raw as a passer, but if there's somebody that's going to help him acclimate to playing power conference SEC football, it's Bobby Petrino. So that's kind of a wait and see for me. Paul, I'm probably one of the few people on the bandwagon of Florida's, you know, still got some life left in them. I think people see the over-under. I think they see the record from last year. And they say, okay, well, when's Billy Napier getting fired? Is he gone by October? And I understand the concern because that schedule is absolutely brutal. But I think the price to be successful in college football, much less the SEC, is having a competent quarterback. And they bring back a guy in Graham Mertz who's played a lot of football, one and two, is going to his second year in that system. So I think the big thing with them is if they can have some other answers offensively, they should be in decent shape. Now, I don't know if they, you know, go win 10 ball games and, you know, win the SEC, but Trey Wilson is going to be the focal point of that offense. He got like 11 targets in the spring game, and that's a situation where you'd expect him to get like some light work. You know, it's practice 15, but the game 11 targets and he had over 100 yards receiving. If they can have somebody in addition to him be a playmaker, Florida's going to have a chance. I'm not calling my shot that they go on and make the playoff, but they're going to have a chance to, at the very least, kind of play spoiler and wreak some havoc across the Southeastern Conference and across their November schedule.
Incredible. JD, thank you. You consumed. My head is spinning with all the things you just spit out. Thank you very much, JD, from On3 headquarters right outside of Nashville. How about Patrick Murphy? the national championship winning coach from Alabama. Talk about a big presentation that you'll see for the first time later today. Jeff Traylor, the coach at UTSA. Had a nice chat with him about a year ago. And Kyle Tucker on the weekend in Kentucky went from doom to gloom to, we can't believe we got this guy. Three puffs of white smoke for a new pope in Lexington. We'll be right back.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And during the break, watching the introductory press conference of Mark Pope yesterday at Rupp Arena. Mike starts it off for us. Good afternoon, Mark.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
First of all, Paul, I want to talk about the Auburn wide receiver corps. I was at the Auburn 8A game, and Cam Coleman was a stud. But he needs some other members around him to be successful.
Okay, good.
But do you think this Mark Pope thing is going to work out?
Yeah, I think Kentucky is a great place to be a coach, and I think it's a complete reboot. And everything that's happening up there, Mike, is just a shot at John Calipari that this is a new era. We're going to go back to doing things the Kentucky way, hanging banners, bringing the family together, as opposed to it's all about one and doneers and the brand of John Calipari. The brand is now the University of Kentucky, which is how it should have always been. But when you give somebody a lifetime contract, it tends to change the dynamics. So let's continue. And Bash is up next. Hey, Bash.
Bash Brother Paul, thank you for taking my call. How was your weekend?
Bash Brother Randy? Yeah.
Randy!
Randy's back. Okay,
we're all good, Bash. That's good to hear, Paul. I really don't have a question today, Paul. I'm going to get straight to it. I know my call last Friday was terrible. It was bad. And my call
now,
today,
hold on
Paul,
a second,
has been
Randy, help me with this. Was that Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, or Monday? Do you remember which call he's talking about?
I thought that. It's like, Bash, which bad call are you talking about? Yeah. It's like,
which,
all right,
which
Paul,
day ending in Hawaii
you.
Was your bad call, Bash?
The one where I was talking about hockey, and it's like,
oh,
this is not a
yeah,
hockey
that,
show.
That was on a level of, that bad doesn't describe that.
I agree with that, Paul. But
and Bash, for that, we're going to fine you.
You're going to come to Colorado?
No, not yet. I'm going to let it warm up a little bit.
Yeah, good call. It's warming up a little bit now. And every time I was listening to you and Randy complain about cold weather in North Carolina, I'm like, can you just please just
Well, we're not complaining anymore. It's 86 today.
Fair point. Now, before I go, Paul, I just want to say to you, Randy, Jamari, Luke, Dan, Alex, the whole Paul Feinbaum crew, everyone involved, Paul, thank you so much. I can always say I have bad calls on this show, but I never have a bad day because a person like you gives someone like me a platform to come on your show free and welcome to ask you whatever's on my mind, even when it's not even intelligent. And you're, Paul, your show is a huge distraction
well, thank you,
to a
and
lot of
by the
of
way,
the,
I don't know about you, Randy. I think this might be one of the best calls we've ever had.
I've had this call kind of in my heart for a while, Paul. It's just been hard to get it
Here's
out there
the
without,
secret
you know,
to the show, Bash, if I could just talk to you only.
Yes, sir.
When in doubt, yes, say this is the best show you've ever heard, and we will fall for it every single time.
It's not a trick, Paul. This is the best show. Okay. I literally am a blessed man to be a caller on this show.
I
can't
Randy?
Thank you enough for giving me the opportunity to talk to some of my heroes. And speaking of that, Paul, you are one of my heroes. The way you carry yourself, the way you interact with people, the way you are as a human and as a grown man is something that I wish to one day be half as good. And if I am, I'm a successful person. And, Paul, thank you again, everyone on the show. You all are awesome. Have a great Monday.
Thank you, Bash.
And roll damn tide.
You know, I once said that I thought Jim was the greatest caller in the show's history. Bash is the best caller in the show's history. Don't you think? You think I'm being a prisoner of the moment?
Yes.
You think I fell for that?
Yes.
I did. I'm very gullible when it comes to compliments.
Well, it's 420 this Saturday.
Oh, is it 420?
420 on Saturday.
Oh, wow. Bash's birthday. Jay is up next in South Carolina.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Hey, how are you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you very much.
Always an honor. Always an honor and a pleasure to get to speak to you.
Thank you very much.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about Auburn football in just a minute. I got to finally see some of the highlights of the spring game down there from a week ago Saturday.
Yeah.
And this young man they got down there named Cam Coleman,
he's great.
He is lighting it up.
He's the incoming freshman wide receiver.
Yes, sir. He's a – if you know, I don't want to put a lot of pressure on this young man, but, you know, sometimes the words Randy Moss and Calvin Johnson come to mind.
Ooh,
which
that's
a long
compliment.
Way off. But yes, sir. I really was impressed by him. And also I have a question. How do you think down the road that Hugh Freeze is going to work out at Auburn? I know it's a hard job to hold on to. And
yeah, I thought objectively last year was disappointing, not because of the way it ended, but it just seemed that there was a disconnect. But I think what Hugh Freeze has done in the offseason helps. He did a complete reboot with his staff, and I like what he's done. And frankly, Coleman, among others, he's been able to really score some big wins in recruiting. Thank you for the call. Kat is up next. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much.
I know you love one-upsmanship, and I saw that kind of bubbling over Friday in your acceptance of Mark Pope for the head coach of Kentucky.
Right.
But I can tell you one thing, when you having seen what I saw, and I'm sure you watched it yourself, it looks to me like that Mark Pope has a home, he has an ability, and he certainly got the brain.
He sure
the
does.
Only the only issue that I have is the issue of temperament, but I believe that his love for Kentucky is certainly a breath of fresh air after the foul odor that P.T. Barnum left.
You know, Kat, I didn't, you know, as the show wore on, I started to understand it a little bit more, and I'm in agreement with you. Sometimes you have to go to your core, and I think that's what Mitch Barnhart did, as opposed to just, you know, grabbing a name from the coaching list, which a lot of schools do. He went back to a period of time that remained special, and And I think in one swoop, he pretty much wiped out the last 15 years. And I'm not saying it wasn't a lot of success. There was. But the way it ended for Calipari, I think, has been brought into clearer focus. You saw Wednesday night, whatever night it was, the circus in Arkansas. And what you saw in Lexington yesterday was more of a revival, a genuine coming together of what makes Kentucky the number one brand in college basketball.
Well, what really happened was, Paul, is that you really got a firsthand look that Kentucky basketball is life.
It is.
In Kentucky. Now, get me wrong, that's not to supplant the football.
No, but that's never going to change, though, and I think that's what people have to understand. And it's like at Alabama. Alabama just went to the Final Four in basketball, the greatest accomplishment. But I was in Alabama the other day, and people were asking me about football. They weren't asking me about basketball. And you just have to accept who you are and deal with it. And Alabama has dealt with it brilliantly with Nate Oates. And Kentucky, it's a little chancy, but quite frankly, what would you rather have? John Calipari in a lame duck season, or a new coach who has everyone behind him, clicking to the same heartbeat?
One statement. John Calipari became an embarrassment for Kentucky diehards.
I agree. I totally
that
agree
was
with
enough,
you.
That was enough, and that's what I was trying to tell you about the foul air being a fresh air.
No, I get that. And you know, Cal was about we deal with all the different coaches here, as you know, and it doesn't matter whether we like them or not. And I think Cal will do a good job in Arkansas. But when you dealt with Calipari, you weren't dealing with the University of Kentucky. You were dealing with him, where everyone else you're dealing with the spokesperson for the university, and that's fine for a lot of programs. But at Kentucky, it's not fine, because that program is about more than one person.
It's more than one person, and it's also the fact that in Kentucky, turning the reins loose too much for P.T. Barnum got us in.
You're right. But that happens, though, when success happens. You know, I mean, Calipari had it going, and he was always mortgaging what he had versus what he could have, and Mitch Barnhart made a business decision. We need to keep him. It turned out to be a bad decision, but that happens every day. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Getting to your phone calls, and Brad starts us off this segment from Georgia. Hey, Brad.
Happy Monday there, Mr. Paul. Good to see you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, man, I'm excited about the G-Day the other day. Our defense looks like they're going to be better than what I thought. And what's critical is, you know, this time of the year, Mr. Paul, sometimes you can get a catastrophic injury on a play, and somebody, you look around and somebody will be out for the season just like that. And we evaded that. But I tell you, Mr. Paul, I'm excited about this coming year with college football. because of the playoff, I've designated five teams that have a legitimate shot of making it to the Final Four of this playoff this year, and I'm pumped up about it.
Well, that is great to hear. Well, we are making that turn. A couple more spring games to go this weekend. I think there are two or three more, and we'll be on to the season. Thank you for the call. Matt is in Kentucky. Hey, Matt, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Very well.
I was listening to the commercials earlier. Got to give it up to Jimmy V and his cancer fight. That was such an emotional little commercial that you all played.
Thank you.
But I wanted to talk about Kentucky basketball with Mark Pope, and then I also want to talk about Kentucky football and why no one's talking about how good Brock Vandegrift is going to be at the University of Kentucky this year.
Yeah, we talked to one of his wide receivers the other day, and there's a lot of optimism about Mark Stoops' team.
I think they have a legitimate chance. I don't know if they're going to win the East, but, you know, top 12 with the new playoff, I think there's a legitimate chance that they could be close to that.
Well, here's the good news, Matt. There is no longer going to be an East. So what you're trying to do now is just, you know, try to get to the playoffs. That's the goal.
Yeah, well, I love the show. I really do. You guys are fantastic. I love listening to it and everything like that. What recruits do you think Mark Pope is going to bring back to Kentucky or into Kentucky that's going to make
That is a really tough
the Kentucky
one.
Kentucky fans excited.
That's a tough one to figure out right now because I saw Wagner went to the portal. A couple other players have. I think it's going to take a couple of days, but I think some of these guys will likely come back. Thank you very, very much for the call. Jim is up next in Alabama. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I got on a little late, and I apologize if you guys have already talked about this. But have you brought up Steve Sloan today?
No, and I'm glad you did. I heard from Wayne Atchison today, a longtime friend who told me the news about Steve. For those who don't know, Steve Sloan passed away over the weekend. He was 79 years old. So who was he? For those of you who don't know, he was a quarterback at Alabama. He later went on to be one of the youngest head coaches in the country for Vanderbilt. Later was at Ole Miss and ultimately Duke before becoming the athletic director in 1987 at Alabama. And he really was one of the most beloved people at one time. Many thought he was going to be the replacement, Coach Bryant. Coach Bryant even indicated to some friends he thought Steve would be the best choice, and then things got a little bit out of whack for him, I think when he was at Ole Miss. But a nicer man you will never meet.
No, you're right, and I mean, a lot of people don't remember he was Joe Namath's backup.
Right.
And, yeah, you're right. I mean, I had actually forgotten that he was athletic director for a very short time.
Yeah, you know what happened, Jim? It was utterly bizarre how this occurred. Ray Perkins, who replaced Bryant, left to go to Tampa. And Alabama hired the athletic director and the head coach at the same time, which made it incredibly difficult for Steve Sloan because he ended up coming in with Bill Curry, who became very unpopular as the Alabama head coach. And ultimately, Sloan was let go, and Curry saw the handwriting on the wall and realized that he better exit quickly, and he took a job at the University of Kentucky as the head coach.
Yeah, and if you look at his career, I mean, I also didn't realize he was the head coach at Duke at one time.
Yeah, he was really. I believe Steve Spurrier replaced him at Duke. But he was a really good quarterback. Well, he was in many ways. Steve was just too nice of a person to be an athletic director, and I know that sounds crazy to be too. But he was. I'll tell you one quick story about Steve, he was a great golfer too. We were at the SEC spring meetings in Destin, and they had a golf tournament. And I was a newspaper guy, so you're just looking for any gossip you could find. So I went up to Sloan late in the day, and I said, Coach, I said, could I get you to comment on your hole in one? He had a hole in one while they were playing, and he said, can we go in another room for a second? He took me in this back room. He said, can you do me a major favor? I said, okay. He said, could you not write about my hole in one? I said, well, Coach, everybody. He said, I don't want anybody to think I'm playing too much golf. I mean, it's kind of a cliche, but so I didn't report it. Somebody else ultimately heard about it, but it was a bad fit at Alabama, primarily because he didn't choose the coach, and there were a number of things that went haywire.
Yeah. He kind of got that Bill Curry.
Yeah.
Brick hung around his neck for that.
And the worst thing he had to do, and his number two guy was Tommy Limbaugh, who was really the chief operator, and they had to implement so many new things because under Coach Bryan and even under Perkins, Alabama became very stagnant. They were behind the times, and Sloan and Limbaugh had to recalibrate the place with a ticket plan and stadium expansion, and it was really too bad the way it went down.
Well, you were talking about what a good golfer he was. I didn't realize it until I read it a while ago. He was a scratch golfer.
Yeah, no, I knew he was good, but I didn't realize he was that.
And he qualified one year for the senior U.S. Open.
Oh, did he really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Anyways, he lived in Orlando. I think he lived at Bay Hill on
Yeah, he moved down there after he left Alabama. I can't remember. I think he became the athletic director down there of some school. I really don't remember. His career path was really interesting. He was at Vanderbilt, where he had a lot of success. He took them to a bowl game. And then, I mean, I'm not even sure Steve was 30 years old when he got that job. And then he went to Texas Tech, where he was fantastic. And he went to Ole Miss at a rough time and had a good year or two, and then it came apart, and then he went to Duke. But he never got the credit as big a football
coach.
He played
in the NFL for 2 years.
Yeah, he did.
He played in 2 years, but I wonder if he and Namath kept up together. I guess they did. Namath lived down there near.
Yeah, and by the way, there has never been two more opposite people than Steve Sloan and Joe Namath. I don't think he ever had a drink. I mean, he was one of the straightest shooting guys you've ever met.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
Joe was a little bit on the wild side, as you probably have heard.
Yeah, you're two opposites, more opposites you couldn't get them, man. But yeah, it's a sad thing. He was a legend, no doubt about it.
Well, I am glad you mentioned it because he was just it's part of life when people pass away and they've been out of the public domain for a while, we tend to forget. I guess that's why they keep people like me around, because I remember some of these guys. But he really was a special person, and I'm so glad you brought it up. We were planning on doing that, but I'm very appreciative. We'll take a short break, and we will be right back.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
But Kevin is up next in West Palm. Hello, Kevin. Good afternoon.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Very well. Thank you.
I just want to tell you, you are such a great analyst and all that stuff. I really like you a lot, Paul. You know so much. I think you've covered college football for about 40 years now.
That is correct.
Okay. I just want to tell you that you really know a lot, and I admire you so much. And I think what I was going to say about Florida, about the SEC and all that stuff, I think you and other people already covered enough of it. I know it's already in the past and all that stuff, but I just wanted to ask, what do you make of Rutgers with Greg Schiano and the season that they're going to have?
You know, Kevin, I think he's done a – yeah, I like Schiano. He's been a very interesting character. He had a wonderful run at Rutgers, and then he went to the NFL, and he came within a half a second of being the Tennessee coach when he was up at Ohio State. So I'm really happy that he's doing well up there, and I think they'll – you know, they're in an extremely busy league now with the four new teams. But I like Schiano. I think he's perfect for Rutgers. Thank you very much for the call. Pembroke is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Pembroke.
Good afternoon, Mr. Feinbaum. How are you today?
Oh, we are doing great. Thank you.
Good, good. Well, I wanted to ask you first, didn't you love that Masters this weekend? Wasn't that amazing?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's always good to see it's unusual that when the favorite wins. And Scheffler has been the best golfer in the world lately, and he took total command yesterday on the back nine.
He sure did. I was amazed at how many good shots there had been made by so many players. It blows me away.
Yeah, and the younger players do not – I mean, the older players back in the day, they would play conservative on some of those holes. The young guys don't care. They go after the pin when on the 11th hole, there's an old line. I think Bobby Jones once said, anybody that lands, that's the hole with the water on the left. I think Bobby Jones once said that anybody that ends up near the green, near the flag,
right,
on Sunday when it's on the left side, clearly hit a bad shot, because nobody in their right mind would ever try to knock that pin down. And I think you saw what happened yesterday with Morikawa. You just don't go after that flag; it's too dangerous. And that's why you see a lot of people in that landing area on the right side. There's some shots at Augusta you should not take, and that's one of them.
Absolutely. Well, I also wanted to say that I saw Saban's interview yesterday, or no, Saturday,
Saturday
I guess,
yeah,
at the game. Yeah, Saturday. And I heard him say, I spent 50 years of my life being in a hurry. And I thought, what an amazing statement.
Yeah, you know, Saban is making retirement look appealing.
yes,
I mean,
he is.
Usually everybody, I mean, most people don't want to consider it because they know how different their life. He might be that rare person. I mean, there's a way to. I think we would all like to retire with five homes and a full time and a part time job that pays what he will be paid by ESPN. But it's still different. I mean, he's not moving at that breakneck pace, and he seems to be handling it pretty well.
I agree. You know, we saw him at the Alabama basketball games, and so he's on the move.
He's
for
also
sure.
broken. I mean, usually somebody will leave and you don't see them again. I mean, Nick Saban is pretty adamant that he wants to be at least a part of what he left behind. But
absolutely.
He looked healthier than I've seen him in a long time, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Retirement looks good on him.
Yeah. Hey, what? Randy, you ready to get out of here and go down to Florida and hang out with Saban? Hey, thanks for the call. It does look I remember, I think I was talking to Spurrier once about retirement, and he said that Philip Fulmer had told him, he said, you have to have a plan. Because when you, and I'm not talking about retiring from the plant after 30 or 40 years when you can't wait not to punch the clock. But when you retire from those highly stressful public jobs, you usually don't know what to do the next day. When you retired, did you know what to do?
Yeah.
You came to work here?
I rode my
bike. Oh, you rode your bike. I don't know what I would do. I think I would just, I'd probably start a podcast like everybody else who retires. Matt is up next in San Antonio.
Hey, brother,
Antonio.
How you doing, man? You know
hey,
what
Matt.
Makes you so unique about it that most shows do not have?
What's that?
The way you show empathy, compassion, dignity, and humanity to people when the world is full of so much ignorance and hate. You show people all of that when the world is struggling with that right now. That's what makes your show unique, and I respect you for that, Paul.
Thank you,
you
Matt.
Help people at the lowest and their highest. So I respect you, and you're also my hero, man. And I hope I could be a man just as good as man that you are right now someday. But I'm also, the spring game is coming up in 20th of April. What I want to see from Mike Elko, I want to see him air it out, man. Unlike Jimbo Fisher, boring style, like you just talked about spring games, I want to see these quarterbacks air it out, show how good they could be this upcoming season. I want to see Connor Whitman, how good he can be, and if his foot's going to be fully healed enough. And, like, you know, that's what bored about Jimbo Fisher spring games. That's why they're boring. And I want your thoughts and your opinion on it, man, as well.
Well, for, Matt, before we go here, thank you very much for what you said. That means a great
You're
deal
welcome,
coming
man.
From you. We'll address the spring game coming up here in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.